RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Now, last week, the Taxpayers Union sent an email to their subscribers, headed up, New Zealand Taxpayers Union warning, is fast-track approvals bill a backdoor for co-governance? I'm not going to read the entire email, just a few paras out of it. They say, while we all want to protect our country's beautiful environments and landscapes, we also want our kids to be able to afford decent housing, get from A to B with high-quality roads, and have sufficient energy resources to heat our homes. For many years, the balance hasn't been right, and the fast-track approvals bill aims to fix that. And they say, they tell us, while the fast-track approvals bill gives the final decision to ministers, the minister must rely on what is called an expert advisory panel that will evaluate each project before making a recommendation to approve or reject the project. And then they say, with caps and a red exclamation mark, under the Act, this is a four-person panel which must include one person nominated by the relevant authorities and one person nominated by the relevant iwi authorities. Now, we thought we'd get a view on this from Muriel Newman, coming back to RCR from the New Zealand Centre for Political Research. Muriel, welcome back.
Thank you, Paul.
Does this sound to you like some sort of backdoor co-governance from a government that campaigned on change? Is that what it sounds like to you?
Yes. And look, I put in a submission, or the NZCPR put in a submission a few weeks ago when we, you know, went through the bill very carefully. And when we saw that one of the positions was reserved for iwi and another was reserved for local government. And of course, local government New Zealand has almost got a partnership with iwi leaders. It wasn't quite that formal, but that's the way the direction of travel under the last government. And it therefore was quite easy to see that if you had an iwi representative and a local government representative teaming up, then in fact they would have the right of veto on those panels. It was pretty much appalling when we realised what the government was doing.
But you've got to give people a say, don't you? You've got to consider the groups involved.
I think the key thing about this legislation is that it's taking a very different approach. From what I can gather from the way the legislation's been devised, been drafted, what they will be doing is they will be consulting with anyone who is, you know, directly involved. In other words, if you're going to be doing something and it crosses over private land, then you will be talking to the landowner. But what you won't be doing is talking to the wider lobby groups, if you like, because if you go back and look at the history of some of New Zealand's bigger projects, they spent years going through the appeal process, through the courts process, because one group said, no, 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 we need to protect the snails or the catfish or whatever it was. And another group said, no, 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 hang on, we've got to do these things because it will mean a lot for the economy and, you know, for the progress of New Zealand and New Zealanders. And so this bill was an attempt to change the way of operating, and so that general consultation won't be happening, but I think the individual consultation will. So if iwi is involved in land that the project encroaches on, then I would expect them to be invited to put in a submission, and that's where it should end. There should not be any special rights on the basis of race. And that was what the coalition government campaigned upon, and that was what a lot of New Zealanders supported them for.
They knew this was ticking away in the background, surely. They read the legislation. They knew what they were dealing with, presumably. Maybe you can enlighten us on that.
Oh, look, I think that it's a very definite move by the government to obviously try to get iwi on their side. I think it's a despicable move because if you go back again to the coalition agreements, and we have to, you know, that's the hallmark, isn't it, of this government's term in office, that they put up their coalition agreements. We all, you know, supported them for, didn't support everything, of course, but supported a lot of what they were proposing. And what they said in their coalition agreements that they would defend the principle that New Zealanders are equal before the law, and that the coalition will not advance policies that seek to ascribe different rights and responsibilities to New Zealanders on the basis of their race or their ancestry. Now, that's in black and white in their coalition agreements. And if the iwi representative on the expert panels is not on the basis of race, then I don't know what it is. In other words, they have completely ignored their coalition agreements to put that in the bill, and I think it is totally wrong. And New Zealand First and ACT should have opposed it and not let it get to this stage.
Shane Jones has been talking through media about this in the last day or so. What is your understanding of what he's been saying?
Okay, well, I heard him being interviewed about it. Now, there's three separate issues that underpin all of this. One is the one person from iwi on four people, on four-person expert panels, and those expert panels are chosen for each of the projects that will be potentially undertaken, and they have to decide whether or not they should go ahead. So that's one. And I think that's the most egregious, really, because that's one person out of four. And as I said earlier, if they team up with another representative, they've actually got the power of veto. So that's wrong. The second one is that in the bill, it actually says that the expert panels have got to essentially have an understanding, if you like, of the treaty and its principles. And that includes tikanga Māori and mataranga Māori. Now, you know, for a government that promised to get rid of the treaty principles out of legislation, there shouldn't be any reference to the treaty principles in a new bill that's being put forward. So that's the second thing that's wrong. But the third thing, and this was the one that Shane Jones was talking about, he tried to make the case that there would be projects that would be proposed that would be on land that had been a part of an iwi settlement, a tribal settlement, not directly, in other words, that this land doesn't belong now to the iwi, but that land is in the future, and sometimes the lengths of time were like 150 years into the future. It was just completely ridiculous. If anyone wants to do anything on that patch of land, they have to go back to iwi first to see whether iwi want to buy it or take over it or whatever it happens to be. But they have to consult with iwi before they can do anything on that land. And what Shane Jones was saying was that a lot of these projects might involve that sort of a circumstance, in which case he said that's why we need to have iwi representatives involved who can, you know, square all that off. Well, that's complete nonsense, because all you have to do, it's like I said earlier, if a fast track idea involves that sort of land, then you obviously invite iwi to consult on it, just like you would any other landowner or any other person with an interest in that bit of land. And so it would all be on a case-by-case basis. What Shane Jones was talking about is not widespread. And so what they need to do is just take a very flexible approach. If someone's affected by the project that's been proposed, invite them to have their say. And if they're not, then you do not need an iwi representative on these panels or making these decisions. It should be up to the committees or up to the ministers, and I think it's a retired judge, to be free to put onto the panels whoever they think would be the best people for the job, not because they're Māori or local government or whatever. It's got to be the best people for the job, surely.
Does it feel to you like some sort of backroom deal has been done here?
Well, it doesn't seem like this legislation has been put forward in the best interests of New Zealand given the coalition agreement, right? If the coalition agreement is the overriding framework in which you're going to be proposing all your legislation, this doesn't fit. So whether it's, you know, they've decided that this is the easiest way to avoid, you know, more Maori protests or whatever, I've got no idea. But if that's the reason they're doing it, just to avoid problems with it, then they're not going down the right track. They've got to have the courage to stand up for the principles that they put forward, that Kiwis bought into and that they've got a mandate for, which is to take race, co-governance, all this race-based stuff out of our legislative framework and go forward with all Kiwis being equal. I mean, that's what it was all about.
Yeah, I guess people could think that, especially with what happened at Manurewa Marae, we all know about that, that there's this sort of intertwining between Māori politics at central government level, let's say, I'm thinking of Te Pāti Māori, and other groups. And do you think that there is opportunity here to politically interfere, given the connections, the intertwining that I kind of mentioned, and I might be wrong here, that, you know, there could be trouble ahead even through that? Is that something to think about?
Look, I think it is, Paul, and I think you've hit the nail on the head, really, because I don't believe any of us were aware of how widespread and how deeply the iwi influence had become under the previous government. It now seems to us that it was like co-governance was going on right through under Labor. So, in other words, any decision that was made, it was an iwi was involved, or iwi representatives were involved somehow, somewhere, in being consulted by government officials about how we go forward together. And I think it's gone right through into local government as well. I mean, you know, I've seen projects where all of a sudden iwi are involved in a way they never were in the past, and next minute you've got, you know, works of art and other things which cost an arm and a leg being put forward into a project that shouldn't have any of that in it if you were doing it on a cost-benefit basis. And yet it's there, and it just signals that, you know, the iwi representatives have got way more power now than they ever used to have. And, you know, you can understand it if that's the mandate of the government. The funny thing was, of course, well, not the funny thing, the sad thing was that, of course, Labor never campaigned on any of that, so it didn't have a mandate for any of that stuff that it put in place, you know, the co-governance work that they undertook. And now, of course, we've got a legacy of a government that's riddled with it. And so, you know, I believe that this is a major problem for the government and they should get on with sorting it out. And, you know, if you remember in the coalition agreement, they promised that they were going to do that. They promised they'd take out all the treaty principles from legislation, or at least, you know, if they had a proper purpose, redefine them with that purpose. And if they had no purpose, but they were just in there, take them out. There's a lot of stuff that they promised they would do. Even the name changes, for goodness sake. You still read government documents in half Maori and you actually have no idea what they actually mean. Now, they said at the very beginning they were going to sort all that sort of thing out, and they don't seem to have made any progress on it. It's really just very disappointing.
And we know, don't we, from the Manurewa Marae issue, case, whatever you want to call it, and there's still, you know, water to go under the bridge there and investigations, et cetera, that really the rules don't matter in the end, actually.
No, and you know, that one is was a real eye-opener as well, because, you know, when I looked into that, what I found, to my horror really, was that Statistics New Zealand had got a co-governance arrangement with iwi over the management of data, for goodness sake. And when the, it was incredible, really, when the first census news items were released, I think the first one they decided to release from the last census was the fact that, you know, there's almost 1 million Maori in New Zealand now. it was released on the iwi leaders' website rather than the Statistics New Zealand website as part of their co-governance arrangement. I mean, it was later put up on the Stats website, but, you know, it was just bizarre. And, of course, all of that sort of happened. Unless you were looking for it, you wouldn't have known. And so then you go forward to the Manurewa Marae situation, and they were obviously piggybacking on this close arrangement with census and iwi. And, you know, it got into a real muddle, as we all know. And it was people did things that they shouldn't have, or at least on the surface, that's what it appears. And so you end up having to question all the data. I mean, you know, it's a real problem for the government to sort that one out, that's for sure.
So what should they do, Muriel? What should the government do? Because I guess it takes a bit of time to turn the ship around once it has all that sort of built-in momentum from the previous era, let's say. And you mentioned, you know, the subtitling of agencies, et cetera, and I guess people thought that that would disappear pretty quickly or change pretty quickly. But I guess I'm giving them a bit of wiggle room here. It's not easy to turn the ship of state around quickly. So what should happen here, do you think? Should we hear something now from we've heard from Shane Jones. Were you convinced by what he had to say?
No, not at all, because he didn't address the main issue, which is, you know, one of the four people appointed to expert panels being iwi. Now, of course, the bill is in front of a select committee still, as I understand it. And so, you know, the select committee will recommend changes on the basis of all the submissions and also the advice that they've received. And one would hope that the specifying those two positions on the committees, on those expert panels, would be repealed, because then, as I said, it would be up to the retired judge who is choosing the panels or recommending the panels based on the project that's in front of them. They would then have total freedom to choose the best people for the job. So, you know, when the bill comes back to the House and when the government, so the way it works is that the bill will be recommended back from the Select Committee and go back to the House. And then on the basis of what the Select Committee has recommended, if they haven't done some of the stuff that the government now decides they need to change, then they can put in supplementary order papers that will change those things. And so, and this process goes up right through the committee of the whole House, where, you know, quite often you see ministers bringing in changes during that process. And so if at the end of all that, we're still left with iwi consul, the iwi member of the panel in there, then what we know is that they're not listening and that they have no intention of honouring their election commitments. And I think that is very bad because, like you say, the ship of state is hard to shift, right? Because you've got people in government's departments who've been appointed over the last 6 years strongly, strongly in favour of what Labor was doing, and they are going to take some turning around. And so, you know, put all of that to one side, some of that more general change that needs to happen to one side. This is a new bill that was drafted by this new coalition. And so it has an opportunity to change it now without consequences in the way that we've just talked about with the wider state sector. And so if they don't do that, then they're essentially saying up you to the people of New Zealand who voted for them, which would be an appalling situation. So I think it's a line in the sand, really, with this bill, and we'll get a sense of what the future is going to hold. And if they disappoint us, then, you know, it's not going to be pretty for the next 3 years, or 2 years now, isn't it, almost?
Yeah.
It's a very important bit of legislation, I think.
All right, Dr. Muriel Newman from New Zealand Centre for Political Research. Thanks for coming on again, Muriel, and giving us your view and a bit to think about there for sure.
That's right. And let's keep our fingers crossed it all works out in the end.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now, they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.